Hello, hello, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Digging for the Truth with Ark and Neo. This is Arkologic with Destiny Lab. This is a very special podcast tonight. There are a handful of people in my life that have had as big of an impact on my journey in discovering the truth, who have inspired me to make the music that I make through Destiny Lab regarding creation. There's my family, my parents, a handful of personal friends, but there are also people who have been extremely fundamental in my journey. People like Chuck Missler, Chris White, Joe Jordan, Gary Bates, and others. The list goes on and on, but one person is at the top of that list for me, and that's Mr. Kent Hovind. If you've never heard of Kent Hovind or watched any of his videos or debates, this is something that you need to do. If you type in creation versus evolution debate online, you will find dozens of debates where Kent Hovind takes on all kinds of college professors and evolution specialists and teachers and skeptics of creation, as well as literally entire rooms of college students on Berkeley campus. I mean, you can just watch amazing videos if you look him up. Just look up creation versus evolution debate. He leaves these people utterly speechless. Kent is absolutely unafraid to walk into the lion's den. He's like the modern day creation David, who stands confidently in the face of these evolution giants, who ends up utterly astonishing people who watch his video presentations. That's what he did to me. I mean, he has a perfect mix of spiritual confidence, human humility, stand-up comedy, and scientific facts that are just presented in a way that I don't know anyone else really comes close to. He has been so successful at what he does at colleges that the evolutionists basically begin to refuse to debate him. There's this unwritten rule that if Kent Hovind calls to debate, don't do it. He couldn't really find that many people who were willing to debate him, so people were just refusing. It became kind of an unwritten rule that no one should debate about creation versus evolution because it was confusing students and causing all kinds of disruptions when people began to hear the truth. So, and you can see the censorship of this issue in a lot of ways. I mean, I remember back in the days of MySpace that I would go on what were supposedly called the science forums. Once I went on there and began to post some ideas on creation versus evolution, and they literally removed and began to block all my posts talking about evolution, creation, anything that was critical of evolution, they basically just removed instantly. And they told me that I needed to take all my discussions to the religious forums or philosophy forums, which was crazy because in their science forum and in their discussions, they had all kinds of debates and discussions going on about Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, the Bermuda Triangle in the scientific forum. But if you tried to bring up creation versus evolution, they would tell you that that was not science. So if you want to see people really rage, just go to an evolution forum and try to get them to watch a Kent Hovind debate and get ready for the teapot to blow, because you'll very quickly get all kinds of people calling you names and literally supernatural reactions happen. I've seen people get so angry that it's just irrational. They don't even have anything to say. It's not like they try to argue back. I had a guy one time just like stand up and just storm out of the room and just leave. He didn't say why. It was just like this supernatural rage that came over him. And so there's something that's really amazing when people are confronted with the facts of creation. And that the Genesis account in the Holy Bible can actually be studied and trusted to be true. The story that I have heard about Kent and his debates and videos began to have such an impact on the evolution community and students and different people that could not refute his debates. They were desperate to shut him up. And from what I've heard, that someone or some group created some sort of campaign against him and started sending in his videos claiming that he was some sort of tax fraud because he had been critical of the government in some of his videos. And so this, I guess, prompted the IRS to investigate Kent, and they basically found him guilty of the way he was paying his employees. It wasn't tax fraud, I guess, it was more the way he structured his cash spending. In 2006, they basically threw him in prison for like a decade. But I mean, if you look at the way that Kent was living, he never was a rich man. He did not live extravagantly. He gave most of his money to his employees, it looked like. And the most extravagant thing that he owned, according to his son Eric, was a little scooter that he rode around. So I don't know exactly the entire story, but it seems that he was targeted out, and when they dissected his ministry enough, they were able to figure out this case against him. But, you know, I remember hearing about a guy that lived in a small town next to me even growing up that would get arrested over and over and over again because he would drive without a license and without license plates, without insurance in his car. There's a lot of people out there who are these mountain man types that I guess claim no identification. They claim they're sovereign men, that they're not driving. They're actually just traveling when they're in a car because they're not actually transporting anything. So there's a lot of ways that people understand the law that are very different from maybe the way that you and I do. So if you could declare yourself an independent sovereign man, and I'm not exactly sure how it all works, but I find it fascinating. There seems to be a lot of people that live like this all across the United States, and that we have basically just agreed to buy into the system where we declare ourselves citizens so we can vote and be taken care of by the government through Social Security and things like that. I think it's fascinating to look into and look at these guys that live in this way. And, you know, it's good to always look into the entire system and how the law works. And it seems that a lot of the stuff is just through intimidation almost, or voluntarily giving in to the law. The law plays this game of misleading people, like, you know, like when a policeman pulls someone over and asks if they can search the vehicle. Well, they're asking you. They're not telling you. You can actually refuse to do that. You know, and a lot of times it's intimidation that they're using, or if you're filming them, they'll say, stop doing that. Well, you know, they're just asking you to. That doesn't mean they have legal right to get you to stop. Turns out that you can film them in most states. So we as citizens need to know our rights, need to know the Constitution, and need to know, you know, when that is being broken, when we're being taken advantage of, and when our freedoms are being trampled upon, basically. Anyway, Kent was such a great inspiration to me that I tried to send him my music, but it had always been returned. Recently, I went to 2Peter3.com, which is a website that keeps all the latest information on this case, and just sent a note there wondering if there's any way that I can get my music to him, telling them how big of an inspiration he was to me, and to just call me if there was anything I could do to help. A few days later, I was astonished to get a call from Kent Hovind himself. I was amazed. I had no idea that he was going to call me. It was a great opportunity, a great surprise, and I assumed that he had a great group around him legally helping out. Well, it turns out that's not the case. He has a state-appointed attorney. He doesn't have a lot of funding, and now they're trying to throw a complete new charge at him having to do with mail fraud and adding another 20 years to his sentence. So they're obviously just trying to keep him from getting his freedom, getting him back into his ministry. And that's the way I see it. But my hopes in all this is that Kent is actually being raised up. I know that God has a plan. And if you've seen Kent speak and debate, we all know that he has an incredible talent from God to present an argument. And I hope that in some way, this Kent is actually being raised up and being put in a position where he'll be able to appear in some sort of a Supreme Court or in front of Congress, or some high level of exposure that he otherwise never would have the chance to get, and that God's going to use him in some higher capacity that we may not even understand. It's something that where he'll be able to actually use that talent that God has given him of speaking to expose some of these injustices, some of these unconstitutional activities, and putting people in prison for no reason, people that aren't criminals. I mean, these are nonviolent crimes. There's way too many people in jail. There are way too many people in jail for victimless crimes. And I'd love to know why anyone would think it was worth it to pay however many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year we have to pay in order to keep someone like Kent Hovind off the street. And I'd like to know, how much is the government spending on this case? And is that really worth it? Is that something that we want our tax dollars going to? Or would we actually like to catch real criminals? And I would love to see a snowball effect of other people reaching out to Kent and doing interviews with him. And I've already talked to a couple friends of mine that have their own podcasts. Sam Swanson with God's Property Radio and Justin Fall with Fourth Watch Radio. I'm reaching out to all you guys on Revelations Radio Network, That's right, Basil Gons, Chris White, PID Radio, Russ Dizdar, all you guys, please, anyone else who has a podcast, please get in contact with Kent. I'm going to give you the information on how to do that here. There's a few different ways. First, you want to go to 2peter3.com. That's www.2peter3.com. And send in an email through the contact section. If you'd like to talk to Kent, you'll have to actually set up a prepaid account where he will be calling you collect. It takes about $25 to do that. You can call 1-800-483-8413. That's 1-800-483-8413 to set up an account. It costs, like I said, around $25 to set up. And I think they take like $7 right off the top for a processing fee. So you're automatically down to $18. And then you have to pay around $4 for every 15 minutes. And anyone who's been inspired by Kent that could do an interview to him to help out, anyone who could legally or financially has ideas to help him out, now's the time. He needs his support. He needs to hear from people in this hour of need. Go to, as well, Facebook and YouTube to Club Creation. Look up Club Creation. You'll find a lot more people there who are helping out the cause to get the ball rolling. I am just starting actually to get more involved and figure out who is where and where is everyone at and how we can network together. But if you remember to just contact Kent directly through 2peter3.com, he is taking donations as well for a legal fund at youcaring.com. That's just youcaring.com. And if you look up Kent Hovin there, and there's, you know, if you have money, just please give generously if you can to that. If you make creation music in any way, shape, or form, that's another thing I've been talking to some friends about, of possibly making a mixtape or creation CD that we could maybe sell, put together and sell that CD and donate the funds to Kent's cause. If anyone would like to help out with that or has any creation-based music, please get in touch with me at destinylab@gmail.com. Now, finally, if you want to contact Kent directly by letter or send him something through the mail, you can send him something at Kent Hovin, number 06452-017. That's 06452-017, Santa Rosa County Jail, P.O. Box 7129, Milton, Florida 32572. That's Santa Rosa County Jail, P.O. Box 7129, Milton, Florida 32572. So, without further ado, here's my interview with one of my heroes, living legend, Mr. Kent Hovin.
Hello, Kent Hovin calling here. Is this a good time?
Yeah, Brother Kent. How you doing?
Doing great. I got a whole list of things to discuss with you, but you go first.
You go ahead. You've just been a great inspiration to me. I've followed you for many years. Your tapes and everything were just a great inspiration to me and my music and my research. And I make music about creation research, and it's a blessing to be able to talk with you.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, send it to my son, Eric. He's there in Pensacola. I don't know when I'll get there.
I've been in touch with Eric through Facebook and talked with him several times. Been following him for quite some time as well. And so,
yeah, 2peter3.com is a website that posts all kinds of stuff about me. Also, there's a guy named Steve Anderson as a pastor from Arizona. That was about 2 days ago. Steve and I talked for three 15-minute segments. Yeah, he put stuff up on YouTube is what I heard. I don't know. I can't see the Internet from here.
Sure.
Check YouTube under either his name or my name. See what you find.
I will do that.
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
I'm working pretty blind here. I don't have access to email. I barely get access to phone once in a while.
Okay.
And it's always real loud in here with the one TV blaring full blast, stupid programs. So I need, and I have, a small network of people that help me. I can call any one of them,
okay,
and they alert everybody else of what's going on. So I don't have anybody on the West Coast.
Ah, okay.
You would be the golden one if you're interested. I call when I need a message passed on,
okay,
or some information out. Sometimes I got something urgent and I can't reach anybody.
Ah, yeah.
So I tell people I'd rather get the message three times than not at all. So don't worry about being redundant. Gee whiz, there's a war going on.
Yeah. No, I'd be happy to pass on any information you give me through my Facebook and anything else. I can just spell it out and let them know.
Please do. I think what the Gideon won the battle in Judges chapter 7 because and all he did was shine the light and make a lot of noise with the trumpet. And the enemy started fighting each other down there in the valley. I can't beat these folks, okay? They win every case. Well, you're fighting the IRS and the U.S. government. Nobody wins against them, nobody. But if I make a lot of noise and shine the light of what really happened in my case, which involves people like you doing Facebook, et cetera,
absolutely.
Then if they get enough pressure, maybe they'll fight each other, which is what I'm praying they'll do.
Sure.
Then they should. Okay. So the things that we need is a lot of people just, you know, Facebook, whatever that is. I've never seen a Facebook.
Sure.
But people need to know what the truth. There are quite a few documents posted on 2Peter3.com that explain the whole case start to finish.
Okay.
And I have said many times, even on Steve's interview I did with him, I'm going to have to stand before God, and I can say I have not broken any laws that I know of.
Yeah.
I have tried to do everything right. It's them breaking the laws. But they're not going to police themselves. There's no chance of winning in this local court, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen, you're going to have to go way over their head. Somebody is going to have to do what's called a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, FOIA. You could do one.
Okay.
Some research and find, what on earth is a FOIA? Congress passed a law years ago that said the people have a right to know what their government is doing and what it's costing.
Yes.
You can file a document and say, I would like to know how much are you guys spending on this persecution of Kent Hovind?
Good question.
The total cost of this case.
Great question.
Anybody can do that. And then that needs to go worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
They spent $3 million to get what out of him, you know?
Yeah.
So the Treasury Department in Washington, D.C. needs to be contacted by 10,000 people and say, would you call off the dogs down there in Pensacola? Would you call your people and tell them to drop this case? They're embarrassing us.
Yes.
The Treasury Department can do that. The Justice Department can do that. That's their boss.
Yeah.
I don't know who else can do it. The Tea Party probably would know. Find the local Tea Party and say, look, somebody's got to stop this. This is insane.
Yeah.
Look what they're doing. The Dred Scott case back in 1850, you know, the runaway slave, the Supreme Court ruled against him. You got to go back to your master. And that really kind of led to the Civil War. And everybody now knows about the Dred Scott case. Sometimes Congress gets excited, passes a law to overcome a particular problem. You know, we got to pass a law about that. Now, the stupid structuring law that put me here, Congress needs to repeal that and make it retroactive. So anybody in prison for structuring is hereby released. And Congress has the authority to do that, and the judge can do nothing about it. Congress can also impeach any judge. It's not my job to judge the judge, but Congress is their job.
Absolutely.
And see, the judges are appointed for life during good behavior. I've always said it is not good behavior for a federal judge to rule against the law, and I think there are several things in my case that need a complete, honest, and thorough investigation. Who changed my transcript? Why did it take 16 months to get a transcript I paid $6,000 for when it typically takes 2 months? And why was it changed when I got it, and who ordered those changes? That person needs to be fired. They need to be flipping hamburgers. They don't need to have a badge, okay?
Yeah.
Somebody changed it. Obvious first place to look would be the judge or the transcriber, the court reporter. I don't know who did, but I know somebody did. Why did the ICID agents never answer any of my letters? Why did they withhold evidence of my innocence and then still certified it as a true copy? Why did the U.S. attorney let that come in as evidence knowing it was missing the stuff that said I was innocent?
Yeah.
They all need to be investigated. But for me to complain to them is going to do no good whatsoever. It's going to have to be 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 people saying, look, stop this insanity.
Yeah.
Investigate them. They need to investigate. They need to find the guilty parties. They need to send them to prison, or at least fire them. And they need to send me home, pay the damages, and leave me alone.
Yeah, they need to go after criminals.
But, you know, as you read through the Gospels and the book of Acts, this has been happening for 2,000 years, you know. This is, nothing's changed.
Sure.
Jesus did everything right. He healed people, fed people, was a great guy, and they deliberately looked for false witnesses to kill him.
Just got to get the word out to more people.
There's a lot of people that think I'm some kind of criminal, and therefore they're not listening to my stuff and not getting saved and not promoting the video. I may be just a little bit prejudiced, but those videos, I think, are the best in the world on creation.
Absolutely.
And they get people will watch them and get saved.
So it's
Satan,
amazing.
Of course, wants to shut that down.
Absolutely. That's absolutely what's going on here. It has nothing to do with the law. It has to do with supernatural warfare.
Well, if you know anybody that has Facebook or YouTube or Google or any of that stuff and wants to do an interview with me, I would be thrilled and honored.
Okay, well, I'm all over that. I can definitely find a few people. I'm in touch with a lot of people that have podcasts and do different things like myself. I've got YouTube. I do a lot of YouTube videos. There's something out there called going viral and make things go viral. I think this is a case that we can get out there to the masses and have an uproar about. You know, recently they released what's called as the Memphis Three, which are three kids that supposedly satanically murdered some kids a while back. And all these famous people got together and paid millions of dollars for the best lawyers, and they basically got these kids released, which were satanic ritually murdering kids. And so there's a sympathy for witchcraft going on right now, and yet persecution of Christians, and it's just insane. And I'm going to do everything I can, you know, to try to get the word out.
Okay, anything you do as far as interviews and stuff like that, if you can contact Hal at peter3.com, H-A-L, and also Gina, she runs the clubcreation.org. She's in Canada. She wants to post anything you get, and she'll help it go viral.
Wonderful.
But I think what's going to have to happen is a lot of things, times in the Bible, people did things or didn't do things because they feared the people.
Yeah.
I think it's time these government people wearing a badge being paid by the government should obey the law, and they should fear what the people think. Right now they don't.
Yeah.
And getting 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000 phone calls and letters might just make them mad. It may make my case worse. That's okay. I don't care.
Hmm.
I want the truth out.
Known. Yeah, absolutely.
The truth getting out. Just getting the truth out will exonerate my my ministry and get the gospel out more.
Yeah.
We all know what happened to Jesus. Yeah, everybody knows what happened to Jesus was wrong because God had all the details recorded in the world's best-selling book. Now, it didn't help him. He still died. You know, we all know what Joseph's brothers did was wrong. Let's see. I was telling you what people can do. I'll be glad to do a bunch of interviews. And exonerating the ministry and my testimony is, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, you know, if my bonds make the gospel get out further, then yay, so be it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I want to win and get out of prison. I don't want any more of this at all.
Yeah.
But if I don't, I'm fully aware I may not in this system.
Sure.
So going over their head is the only solution. One thing that really helps is media from other countries. A guy from North Ireland just wrote me and said he's telling about the Irish history of Ireland back 100 years ago when the British captured a bunch of North Irish guys who were, you know, wanted their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War kind of guys. And they got so many letters and emails and the letters and calls and visits from people in other countries said, let those men go. But the British finally said, okay, we'll let them go. So they seem to succumb more to foreign pressure than anything.
Yeah.
Which is why Gina and people in other countries, there's a guy in Sweden writing a book about my whole case, what's happening.
Hmm.
It's bizarre, you know. I've tried everything to obey the law. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
And the courts have an amazing ability, judges do. Once a verdict has been found, even if they know it was found wrong, they can block out everything else and go by that for the rest of their life. They are capable of shutting off their conscience and just, I don't know, it's bizarre.
Yeah. Well, they have to justify doing, you know, something they might know is wrong, and they don't want to live with that guilt.
Yep. Well, I think the things that we need the most right now is prayer, Acts 12:5 style. You know, church prayed for Peter, and God sent an earthquake and got him out.
Yeah, absolutely.
God can open the Red Sea. He can do whatever he wants. He can have Herod eaten up by worms. I mean, if you read the Bible, there's all kinds of ways God took care of things. And I have long prayed for him to do something great in this case. Shortly after I went to prison, I said, Lord, would you please overturn this at the root, overturn the entire case, and make it national news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few months later is when the U.S. attorney on my case went to Pluto, Detroit to have sex with a 5-year-old and hung himself in prison when he got arrested. Now, the other U.S. attorney has cancer, I've been told, and I've said, Lord, no, stop, please, God, I don't want you to hurt anybody.
Wow.
I do want him fired. I want the truth exposed. I think they should be fired, but please don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Fired. I want to hear them say, Mr. Hovind, would you like fries with that? I say yes, and I'll leave a nice tip. Right? But they sure don't need to have a badge. If they can't obey the law, then don't get a badge, okay?
Yeah.
I think everybody should obey the law, especially the people who represent the government. So I'm not a lawbreaker, but I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's one thing that would greatly help is people praying. Secondly,
absolutely.
Congress can get involved. Congress can pass laws and make them retroactive that affect the very charges in my case. They have handed the U.S. attorneys a club that they can beat anybody with.
Mm.
Anyone who takes any money out of their bank can eventually go over $10,000. Take $100 a week out of your bank for 100 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You just broke the law, according to what my case said, and you had 100 times 5, you have 500 years of prison they can put on you for taking your own money out of your own bank because it was in amounts less than $10,000. That's so insane.
Yeah.
The things that need to be spread around, I think, are that the 2005 affidavit that I filed, it's in my case up on 2peter3.com. The complaint I filed against the judge, the complaint I filed against the U.S. attorney, those three documents are probably key. Those can get out. Anybody that just read those say, man, what is wrong with these people? Why do they keep going after him?
Yeah.
And I can't answer that unless they got so much invested now. It's an ego thing. You know, they say, we don't like to lose. Okay, well, I don't like to be in prison either. Hello. Let me go home.
Yeah.
So I'm praying that people, that Congress and everybody will get enough pressure that they'll put a full investigation. There are some other people who the same bunch of, that were put in prison from same trials, not same trial, but same courthouse, same judge, same U.S. attorneys. If you want to contact them, I can't contact other inmates, but you or somebody can contact them and get their story.
Mm.
And the news media needs to hear about that.
Yeah.
One guy's name is Fred. Fred Settles, S-E-T-T-L-E-S. He had a jewelry business in Pensacola, a multi-million-dollar business. They seized everything. He's in prison in Louisiana. I think you can go to inmatelocator.com and locate him and say, Fred, what's your story? You can get his story. They gave him 14 years in prison shortly after my prison story.
Hmm.
Another guy who was put in prison and then he's out now, back out, his name is Ward Dean. He's back in Pensacola someplace. He's a medical doctor. WardDeanMD.com was his website. I don't know if it still is.
Okay.
W-A-R-D and then D-E-A-N. Ask him for his story and the things they did in his case. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
I heard a congressman speaking one time at a banquet. I forget what it was, but this congressman said, you know, somebody asked me if I was going to vote for this bill or against it. And I had 9 letters against it or for it. And 3 letters against it, so I'm going to vote for it. You got 9-3? It only takes 9 people to influence a vote that well. That, Christians don't realize how few people it takes to get their voice heard.
Wow.
All we need is a lot of light and a lot of noise.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of the problem is just getting people to understand the full case. You know, I think for a lot of people, they look at anything having to do with the law and understanding the law and the legal system, and it just, you know, it becomes a muddy waters that they can't see through and understand. So
yep.
I think if it can be presented in an easy, concise way, maybe in a video format, and I know I've seen some videos where people have done that for you, but in as many ways as people can do that and then spread that information around so people can at least understand what's going on. That way they can get that, you know, fire going to even have the passion. Because every, you know, tons of people know about the videos and they know that you were sent to prison. But I don't think as many people understand the fullness of how it all happened and how it all went down. And I even though I've tried my best to investigate it, have trouble completely figuring out. It's just so nutty. So
Well, it's, I think, a clear case of retribution, especially this new case. As far as the original one, they investigated me for years and couldn't find anything, but since they already had so much money involved in the investigation, they have to find something. And so that's how they justify their evil. They broke so many laws, and I would be honored to be called before Congress and say, testify. What do you know? What happened? I'll see if I can get the guy from Sweden to hurry up on his book. I'm sending him stuff here and there, and he's trying to put all the pieces together to explain to people what happened. Paul Rand and the Tea Party folks, I don't think anybody's contacted them, but they ought to be looking at this. Paul Rand is a Wisconsin congressman. Maybe you could contact him. Or even Sarah Palin, you know, in Alaska. Say, have you looked at this? Have you seen what they did? See, right after I filed the complaint against the judge and against the U.S. attorney and the Liz Pendens on the property, which is simply a notice saying, hey, litigation is still pending, that's when they filed this new lawsuit against me now. So they're trying to cover up their sins, I think. They're the ones that did the wrong, and they know if this is ever examined. They'd rather bury me. You know, this charge of using the mail, which I don't recall if I did or not, but using the mail to mail a letter has a 20-year sentence.
Okay. This is what they're trying to go after. It's a mailing of a letter. Better get that guy off the street.
If I'm found guilty, under this law, if I'm found guilty, they could give me 20 years and fine me $500,000.
Wow.
That's what they're saying.
That's just ridiculous.
And, of course, in the district court, you got a 99% chance of losing.
That's ridiculous.
So, you know, what chance did Paul have in the Roman system? You know, they hauled him all over the Roman Empire. They knew he was innocent, but he spent years in prison over nothing. You read Paul's, you know, the book of Acts. Just because somebody hated him. I would love to do lots of interviews and let people know what's happening. My only goal is to shine the light and, you know, spread the truth.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there, many people out there know different parts of the puzzle, kind of like the Matrix almost, you know. Everybody understands a little bit of it, but I don't even want to fight these people. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. I'm just trying to do what the law says. So I'm open for any help or suggestions. If you know anybody that's good with legal type stuff, there seems to be a lot of violations in my case, but I don't know how to call them on it.
Okay.
Ernie Land would be, Ernie's the guy to talk to. Did I give you his number?
Yes, he did.
He's right here, about 100 miles from here. so if you get any bright ideas, let him know. Well, he's a friend of mine. He's kind of heading up all the legal, the people offering advice, finding out, okay, what's the right strategy? What do we do?
Yeah.
I have a public defender who seems to be pretty dedicated to want to win and do what's right. And public defenders are not known for being, you know, real zealous and go get them. You know, they kind of take cases because they have to. But
is one of the big things funding for you, just getting funding for legal representation?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Kickstarter or Indiegogo or some of these, like, independent ground source fundraising campaigns or websites that are out now?
Never heard of them. I've heard there are some, but I don't know anything about them. Ernie is the guy to talk to about all that. If you get any ideas, call Ernie.
Okay.
Because he is trying to raise funding. But
yeah.
He's got a couple of high-dollar lawyers that are willing to look at it, but they want a bunch of money, you know.
Well, the way these sites work, they've been really popular just in the last few years. And you go on there, you create a video regarding whatever you're trying to raise funds for, whether it's something like this or a product or idea. And people can give $1, $5, $10, $20, anything they want. And it's a really, really successful campaign. I'll talk to Ernie about it.
The email is docfog, doc like a document, D-O-C-F-O-G, at docfog.com.
Okay, yeah, I sent him an update that I talked with you yesterday. I sent an email to all those people that you gave me a list of yesterday and let them know that I talked with you. And so I'm trying to network with as many of those people as I can. And that's the big thing, I think, is just getting people together. There's a lot of people, I think, that really care for you and are praying for you, but they don't know exactly where to go to. Do you go to Eric? Do you go to 2 Peter 3? Do you go to Facebook sites? There's so many little tiny branches. what do you think is the best place for people to go to?
Well, definitely to Ernie Land.
Eric
and my family and his ministry, they need to be kept out of this totally. I'm too radioactive. I don't want to hurt any of them.
Okay.
I purposely keep them in the dark. They don't know what I'm doing most of the time and don't need to know.
Okay.
I'm going to fight this battle until I win, and meanwhile, he's off serving the Lord. So Eric's up in Detroit tonight. He's preaching up there tomorrow and then comes home tomorrow night. But, yeah, I don't even inform him of most of the stuff going on.
Yeah.
Nor have I for eight years. I've left him in the dark. You go preach and let me fight. I don't want you to get in the way or get dragged into this at all.
It's a tough situation, but he's doing a great job. And, like I said, there's a lot of independent people just, you know, who've been touched by your ministry, really praying for you. And I think the big thing is just conglomerating people to know what to do. People want to help, but other than praying, they're not exactly sure what they can do, how they can really know the fullness of the case. And with the way media is anymore, there's just so many independent people making videos and all this stuff. It just makes it to where there's so many rabbit holes to follow, you don't know where to go.
Steer everybody to Ernie.
Okay.
As far as if they want to help finance, that would be wonderful. I am absolutely no good at that, nor do I even like to do that kind of stuff. It's kind of God's problem, you know?
I understand.
So that would be wonderful if you want to take that on. If you are already an organizer anyway, that certainly talk to Ernie, but that certainly needs to be done.
Yeah.
Like you said, there are a lot of people that want to help and people that I've called. You will get some flack. Some people say, oh, well, if he's helping you, then I don't want to help. It's been this way in Christianity for 2,000 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos. You know, they argued over it back then.
Yeah.
I did an interview with Steve Anderson, which is up on YouTube.
Yes, I did watch that.
And I talked to Eric this afternoon. Yeah, I talked to Eric. He said, Dad, why are you associated with Steve Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Eric, I've been on the Ali G show. I've debated 100 atheists. I've been on all kinds of programs. I'm not associated with Steve Anderson. He asked me to call. I called. He did an interview.
Yeah.
So it needs to be clear that just because I do an interview with somebody does not mean I agree with them on everything else.
Sure,
you know, The Americans and the British and the French all got together to fight Hitler.
Absolutely.
Then when they got done fighting Hitler, they went back to arguing about the stuff they argued about before. There's a common enemy that's bigger here. So
yeah.
That's kind of the thing here.
Well, and I think Steve Anderson, he's kind of a hot-button topic, but I think he's a brother in Christ. I mean, the things that he's just a very passionate guy, and I think that's where people get worked up. You know, the whole pre-trib, post-trib thing is always going to be a hot-topic subject, and I think, you know, we got to remember we're brothers and sisters in Christ regardless of where we stand on those issues. Christ is Lord regardless. So.
Yeah, and it needs kind of a PR man, if you want to do that, to calm nerves and say, look, guys, we've got to cooperate. There's a bigger battle. Kent Hovind does not work with Steve Anderson. He does not work with anybody.
Yeah.
He's an independent servant of the Lord. These people want to help him. I would say Jeremiah 38 is the best example to use. Jeremiah was stuck in the bottom of the pit.
Mm.
No way to get out. And Ebed-Melech went to ask the king, can I go get him out of there, please? And the king said, take 30 people with you and go pull him out. He didn't interview those 30 to find out what they believed or what color socks they had on. Just come help me pull this guy out.
Yes.
Everybody pull on the rope.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need here.
How can people best reach you, Kent? Is there a way to directly send a message to you through 2 Peter 3? Do you get those messages directly?
No. Well, I call in to somebody every day, somebody on the list. The main ones I call into would be Ernie Land or Bob Thompson or his wife or my lady here, Robert Breaker, and his wife, Elizabeth.
Yep.
They're right here in Milton.
Yeah, I got them.
I call hit the robertbreaker3@hotmail.com. Between those three, pretty much, I try to stay informed. Like if you find somebody that wants to interview me and they've got an account set up, and you just let one of them know, or I'll call you like maybe twice a week or something. And you just say, oh, hey, these people want to call you and interview. I'll talk to any of them. I'm finding at least two or three phone calls at $3 or $4 a piece to cover the whole topic. So and just explain to them, if you put $25 on, they're going to take off $7 for their fee. That's just a money-making racket. I can't get around it.
Yep, yep.
when I was in the feds, when I didn't call anybody collect, I called direct. I put money on my phone account, and I could call people direct.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my bill. That's what I feel much more comfortable with. But here, there's nothing I can do. It's got to be collected. So you let either Robert Breaker's wife or Ernie or somebody know when it's confirmed with these other ones. Give them the phone number and a good time.
Okay.
The best times for me are mornings.
Okay.
We're in Central Time here. Mornings from, say, 8 until 10 are ideal because it's quiet. The TV's not even on. The guys are all sleeping.
Okay.
And I can have all the phones I want. But I can call any time. Like tonight, I had to wait in line to get onto this phone, and it's real noisy, and there's a football game. And
I see.
I plug one ear. I can hear you pretty good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing I just want to know is how people can get in touch with you. I know the second Pier 3 and through Ernie Land. And then the other thing is what plans you might have in store when you got out. Have you thought about that, how you're going to direct your ministry, or are you just not thinking about that yet?
I've been thinking about that since I got in.
You that.
Sure. I want to go back to what I'm doing. Where 2 Peter 3 says, the scoffers are ignorant of the creation, the flood, and the coming judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke for years on the creation and the flood. I'm going to keep doing that and add part 3, the coming judgment. My book, What on Earth is About to Happen,
awesome.
We're going to third edition now, and I'm just going to add that and keep preaching.
Awesome.
So I think the government would be very wise to simply drop this case right now. They're going to make me swear to tell the whole truth, and I'm going to try to tell the whole truth, but I promise you they will not let me tell the whole truth.
Yeah.
Which is why guys like you need to get the whole truth out there some other way that they can't stop.
Yeah.
They've got 100 little court laws, and you know they'll say, oh, well, you can't bring that up in court because they've got all these crazy rules. You know, it'd be like me going out to play rugby or Rick pick one of them English games that I know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the rules. I don't know what the cricket, what's a cricket bat? I have no clue, you know. So I'm in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that when you go into a federal court, it actually is like a ship. That flag with the gold fringe indicates you're on a ship now, and it's not under the Constitution. That's maritime law or a martial law.
Hmm.
And boy, they don't want people to know that. Everybody, you can probably do some Google research on that about the maritime law and make that known to the average person can understand it. You think you're in a U.S. court and that this judge is a federal judge, but they can quietly take off that hat, and because of that gold fringe flag, you walk through that railing and you've now been shanghaied, and they're treating you like they're the captain and you're an officer, or you're a private in the Army, and they have the right to do anything they want to you. Anything. The Constitution doesn't matter.
Wow.
After all, you consented to be there. So it's maritime law. There's several different types of law, and they claim jurisdiction over you under maritime law by virtue of you being in there. They don't say it, but they have that flag up there, and that indicates... It was like if you're on a ship out of the sea and you have you raise your flag. That's the law of the sea, called maritime law.
Mm-hmm.
Do some search on that, see what you can find. Yeah, people need to know about that. But anybody can do a FOIA, F-O-I-A, Freedom of Information Act, and say, look, what has this case cost? And they're probably going to say, oh, well, you have to send us $100 for all the copies of paper. Okay, send them $100. I did a FOIA to the IRS on my case back, 2002 or 3, I guess, when I realized, what do these guys want? I sent a FOIA. They said, you got a thick file. It's going to be $146. I said, okay. So I sent them $146. They sent it back and said, you are an underground coal miner in the Virgin Islands. They said, what? I've never been to the Virgin Islands. Correct this record. I'm not an underground coal miner there. They did that intentionally so that they could claim I owed the tax because... underground coal mining in the Virgin Island is a taxable activity.
Oh, my goodness.
So once they corrected the record, I sent another FOIA and said I'd like my individual master file, IMF, and they sent me another one, 710 pages, and 35 pages of it said you're not a tax protester and you don't owe any tax for the years 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and 2000, the same years I'm in prison for. Okay. So people out there are saying, well, Kent Hovind's in prison for not paying his tax, they're incorrect. They don't know what they're talking about. That's not what this case is about.
Hmm.
This case was about structuring. But they withheld those pages when they introduced that IMF at trial. They left those 35 pages out.
Mm.
And my attorney's questioning the IRS agent on the witness stand, saying, hey, what about these pages here? And he said they're not there. The IRS agent admitted that.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
Rather than stopping the trial right there, the judge told my attorney, stop questioning this agent. He's not on trial. Kent Hovind is. So
yeah.
Kind of the thing here. That's all I had. I was just checking in. If I check in two or three times a week, you'll have to probably after one or two more calls, put more money on the account.
Sure.
If you want to keep going.
No, no problem. I can do that. We're praying for you, and I'll keep in touch. Keep calling.
Well, brother, that'd be a blessing.
Okay.
I'm thrilled. I'll call in a couple of days, maybe Tuesday night or something. And if you have any more questions or comments or news interviews, I need to newspaper articles I need to respond to.
Okay.
You're a blessing, brother. Thanks.
All right. You bet. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So that concludes my conversation with Kent Hovind. I'm hoping to maybe make this an ongoing discussion. He needs to have as many outlets as possible. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, please, anyone else who's been inspired by Kent, who has the ability to reach out in some unique way by either with a podcast, making videos, doing a film documentary, whatever you can do, please do what you can to spread the word, financially help him out if you can, and most importantly, keep him in your prayers. Thank you and good night. We're going to close out with a song of ours that features Kent Hovind at the beginning. This song is called Natural Selection by Destiny Lab. If you have any questions, comments, anything, please go to destinylab.com or get in contact with me, Arcologic, at destinylab@gmail.com. Thank you and good night. God bless.
The evolution theory did not start with Charles Darwin. It started way before that. It actually started in the Garden of Eden with Satan when he said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, Eve, if you eat off that tree, ye shall be as gods. The whole idea that man can progress and evolve and become better, you know, is an idea that came from the devil in the Garden of Eden. Darwin simply made the theory popular.
Historical examination. Investigate for solid ground and foundation. We dissect the infection. Cut it out if it fits with intentions of Satan. Illuminate the deceptions. Point them out and expose them for causing stagnation. They imitate education and invade the system like an infestation. Present explanations, annihilate and confiscate abominations, shine light on illusions, and inspire young minds to arrive at conclusions, reconnect with corrected connections, and collect and reflect on the questions, develop skills using scriptures as weapons, sword at the spirit at my side for protection, stand firm in my helmet of salvation, and meditate on Ephesians 6:10.
So they can't handcuff you. You say, wow, that's beneficial. Well, it might be beneficial for the moment, but it's not beneficial in the long term, okay?